Welcome to the OIS Podcast, where you get candid conversations with the leaders and drivers of ophthalmic innovation. And now, here's our host, Tom Salemi.
Hi, welcome back to the OIS Podcast. This is Tom Salemi. This week, we're once again going to pay a visit to the Ophthalmology Innovation Summit that we held last week in Chicago. Jeff George, President and Global Head of Alcon, delivered an outstanding keynote address in which he shared his personal and professional insights on ophthalmology. In his speech, George surveyed the ophthalmology industry, giving an overview of the promising and effective technologies being used today. He also shed some light on Alcon's own R&D efforts, including its high-profile joint venture with Google to develop a new contact lens. So if you aren't one of the hundreds in attendance at OIS or just missed George's speech, sit back and enjoy this talk. And for more coverage of OIS, make sure to visit the dozens of videos and articles we're posting on OIS.net.
It's great to be here. Great to be part of the ophthalmology community. I'll talk today a bit about innovation, but I want to start by saying, you know, what an honor it is to join this field and how much I've enjoyed being welcomed into ophthalmology the last 6 months. I've clocked, I think, about 210,000 miles across many countries to visit customers. I think about 225 key opinion leaders and thought leaders in ophthalmology across all the sectors. And it's been a great experience learning about this field. And for me, it feels also like coming full circle, having had a lot of vision issues myself. I grew up with really bad vision from a very young age. My vision quickly deteriorated. During my teenage years, I was losing three diopters a year. Thankfully, it stabilized at about minus 10 diopters in both eyes, so highly myopic and pretty much blind without my contacts. And, I can remember, you know, this was before the days of LASIK. I'm young, but not that young. And, really, it's a great privilege to work for a company whose mission it is to enhance people's sight. And that's something I think that really unites all of us that work in eye care, that work in ophthalmology. And this is a field with so much innovation, and it does feel like coming full circle to me, being able to help out kids like I was at age 14, 15, 16, and pretty scared about going blind. You know, I want to start by talking a little bit about how I view innovation, which I think really requires a focus on both unmet needs of our customers, of surgeons, of ophthalmologists, of all eye care professionals, as well as really unmet patient needs. And I'll talk a little bit about the disease burden within ophthalmology in a moment. Secondly, I'll talk a little bit about how I think about organizing for success within innovation and some of the building blocks that I think are critical in order to ensure a successful organization from an innovation standpoint. And finally, really talking a little bit about how we think about making thoughtful choices across the gamut of technologies and medical options that are available to Alcon and available to our patients and surgeons, ranging from cataract and refractive to retina and vitret surgery to surgical glaucoma and more traditional glaucoma work. There's a great deal of innovation happening right now in ophthalmology, and many of the innovators are actually here in this room. So it's humbling for me to speak to people such as yourself who have a far greater background in ophthalmology than I do. I think from a need perspective, one of the things that we talk a lot about at Alcon is really the enormous burden that we see around the world. There are 20 million people that are blind from treatable cataracts. And as I've had the chance to listen and talk to many leaders who were working across a lot of developing markets, like Jeff Tabin and Sandek Ruit, who started the Himalayan Cataract Project and have now expanded their work to Rwanda and Ethiopia and Southeast Asia. There's a tremendous unmet need of cataracts, particularly in developing markets. If I look at AMD, the estimates are for both wet and dry or neovascular to geographic atrophy that there's about 25 to 30 million people that have AMD, and this is the leading cause of visual impairment and blindness in the U.S. and the Western European countries. We look at, you know, a field like CoolDev, I see you in the audience in glaucoma, 67 million people. And my sense is that's an underestimate of the number of people globally that have glaucoma. Over 90 million people have diabetic retinopathy, and of course there are other eye conditions that we work on that aren't diseases per se, but that are burdensome to wear reading glasses. And we just heard a little bit about that from Brian Otis and some of my team on the Google Smart Lens project looking at presbyopia. Our mission is something that I feel really passionate about, not only because of my own experiences with having poor eyesight and being able to have that addressed by really good ophthalmologists and optometrists that work with me growing up, but because, you know, we're really focused on patients. 250 million patients accessed Alcon medications and medical devices and leveraging surgical equipment from Alcon in 2013. And, you know, the mission is something that I think really speaks to all of our 25,000 associates across 180 countries. You know, if I talk a little bit about why I'm fundamentally very bullish on eye care and why I was really excited when Joe Jimenez, our Novartis CEO and my boss, asked me to take on the role of leading Alcon in this next wave of growth for Alcon, I really look at, you know, the demographics, which I think are obvious to most of us, but we have an incredibly significant aging population, not only across developed countries in North America and Europe, but an aging population in many of the emerging markets as well, which will only increase the disease burden and the need for eye care products from companies such as the ones represented in this room. As I mentioned, a big, you know, unmet need in emerging markets. If you look at most of the estimates, more than half, in some estimates, even two-thirds of the growth really will be driven by emerging markets. And of course, companies like ours, where we're seeing, 20, 25, 30% growth in markets like China, Russia, India, Brazil, and others. A tremendous unmet need. And I talked a bit about the disease burden in cataract, but undiagnosed glaucoma, even just basic refraction for kids that don't have glasses growing up in many countries. And a tremendous amount of exciting scientific and technological innovation. Really grateful for Emmett Cunningham and Bill Link and the entire organization that puts on the OIS event here prior to AAO for all the work to bring such a great group of people together. Innovation's not cheap, right? We look at, what it costs in terms of, cost per patient from a clinical trial perspective, and it's about $22,000 a patient in ophthalmology, obviously driven by, the enormous costs that we see with some of the retina trials and back of the eye trials, but eclipsing even oncology, which is typically viewed as a very expensive area to do clinical work. And I look at, the second factor that I wanted to talk about was really around organization and organizing for innovation. And, there are a number of ways of looking at this, and I think different people have different views, so this is just my own perspective on organizing for success. But I do think it starts with the capabilities that we bring in within our organization and having the right mix of technical and scientific capabilities of people who can zoom in at an incredible, molecular level detail and be able to zoom out at the same time and see the big picture from engineering work on the surgical equipment innovation side to being in the OR and working practically day in and day out with surgeons. I also look for drive, right? I think it's something that is important within R&D. Having a belief that you can achieve something is so critical to success, right? A will to win spirit. And I look at Andy Conrad, who works with Larry and Sergey at Google, and we negotiated the Google deal together, talks about a 10x factor, right? And that people with high levels of drive have 10 times the impact as people with average levels of drive. And I've seen it, time and time again in my own career working with some great people across a number of different industries in the past close to decade in healthcare. I think vision is critically important too, because you can have great capabilities and a lot of drive, but if you don't know where you're going and you don't have a clear sense of the roadmap ahead of you and what will get you there, it's not enough in of itself. But those three things, I think, without culture and without an organizational construct that allows for innovation whether it's fast decision making that allows you to kill projects that aren't succeeding and not have sacred cows in your pipeline process, to having really clear processes across your R&D stage gate model, to having cross-functional teams that really work together in an aligned and highly responsive way. I also view that innovation is absolutely critical. So one that I would add that's not on here is the way that we work with doctors and with surgeons. Absolutely critical to have our team from R&D out in the field. So they've gotten a very clear message from me from my first few weeks on the job that I expect, in particular in surgical and medical devices, for our team to be out learning from surgeons in the operating room because that's where so much of the innovation happens. If I look from, an investment structure perspective and how we think about our investment approach within R&D, within Alcon, I really look at a couple elements. One is we're focused on a therapeutic area, that is ophthalmology, not a specific technology like pharmaceuticals as a delivery form. We also believe in R&D. And I think this is something that is really important to echo, because there are companies out there right now that have really lambasted the R&D model and argue that it doesn't provide for returns to shareholders. And I would argue to the contrary, that without research and development, there is no innovation. And you can drive short-term performance and exceptional performance from a shareholder perspective by cutting costs. But ultimately, if you're not making a stand for research and development and really pursuing what is important to patients and unmet needs from a disease perspective and what's important to customers, your company won't last long. And I think finally, we believe in a wide array of partnerships. As I, you see in the second bullet there, we're really agnostic to, how we spend the $1 billion a year in R&D that we spend at Alcon. I'm open to great ideas, whether they be from Google X in our partnership there, acquisitions or internally developed organic initiatives, of which we have many. And I think it's important, to also think non-traditionally. My initial read on Google was skepticism, given what I was communicated, by the Alcon team based on what we knew. And I said, look, it can't hurt to go out and spend a day out in Palo Alto with Andy Conrad and his team and listen and learn and understand, what they do. And, that conversation pretty quickly after I saw that they had 100 patents plus, applications filed in the glucose sensing lens and 57 at the time in the accommodating lens technology, that, you need to suspend, one needs to suspend disbelief sometimes in order to realize great innovation. And some innovation is incremental and some innovation is breakthrough. And I think it's important to have a portfolio of bets. So as I think about our innovation, at least from an Alcon perspective, we want to be driving, incremental changes that our customers and our surgeons need. And at the same time, really driving new pharmaceutical compounds, whether it be in areas like glaucoma that haven't seen a lot of breakthrough since, prostaglandins and some of the follow-on combination fixed-dose therapies, or whether it be in truly breakthrough areas such as the work that we're trying to do in diabetes and presbyopia with Google. So I think it's really important to have a mix of both internal and external innovation, and I don't believe in, only invented here. And that's why forums like this, I think, are so important. At least for my team and me from Alcon. Making thoughtful choices across product innovation, investing in disruptive platforms, and across delivery models is also critical to building a successful innovation organization. And if I just talk a little bit about some of the innovation that's going on in this room, we've got some amazing companies. Apologies in advance, I just picked a snapshot of companies that I find that are doing really interesting things across the industry. And I'll start a little bit with a plug for our own cataract refractive suite, and then move into some of the work that's being done across startups and other big companies like Zeiss and AMO and others that are innovating in other areas. We've taken a view within cataract refractive surgery that it's important to have an entire suite for optimal patient outcomes, from surgical diagnostic and pre-planning work that leads and works in tandem with the work that comes later through femtosecond lasers like LensX for capsulotomies or capsulorexuses, and, you know, the work that's being done on a FACO platform perspective. And, you know, really, when I look at Centurion and the strong uptake that we've had, you know, with Centurion this year, and it's really exceeded our expectations significantly, it's because of that partnership that we've had hand-in-hand between our R&D organization, our commercial organization, and the surgical community. You know, active fluidics and other elements that are able to stabilize IOP control during surgery are critically important. You know, some of you who've seen Dick McCool in surgery, you know, have seen how he's done it in the past with the bag way up in the air, cut through the ceiling to provide the optimal IOP during surgery. And I think, you know, innovations like we're seeing with Centurion are critically important. We closed our acquisition of WaveTech, which was done, you know, Bill Link, a company from Versant, and Tom Frenzy, the CEO of WaveTech, is in the room. And really interesting technology. I mean, I had, you know, no idea really what intraoperative aberrometry was when I came into the role and have had to learn a good bit about it. But this is really, again, focused on patient outcomes, and in particular, if I look at astigmatic outcomes that we see with doctors who are using, you know, their own practices versus doctors that then switch to use intraoperative aberrometry, or getting really significant improved patient outcomes. If I look in surgical glaucoma, there's a lot of talk about work that's going on. I think, you know, a great deal of excitement around the MIGS space, and, you know, Icomed and his Binkhorst lecture earlier this year at ASCRS, which I think I was, you know, 1 or 2 days into the role for, has talked a bit about, you know, the do-no-harm approach, and these being a great opportunity to, in a simple way, reduce IOP further. And, you know, to me, you know, you have to look at the data and judge for yourself on the efficacy. And I know there are different views out there within the surgical glaucoma community, and, you know, comparing to trabectalectomies and trabeculotomies. But there's really, you know, across the spectrum, if I look at, you know, Iridex and the micropulse laser therapy that they have, which is really in many ways superior to ALT, given the less heat discharge that it offers, and the better safety patient profile that we see, or better patient safety profile that we see. I look at filtration as an area. There are companies like Aquasys that are working in the subconjunctival space that are able to, you know, cut across the Schlemm's canal and the collector channels and the episcleral layer to really alleviate, you know, bad cases of glaucoma. And obviously surgical, you know, glaucoma comes when pharmaceuticals aren't working. All the way to, you know, shunts and valves, from the Ahmed valve to the Express shunt that we have at Alcon. In vitro retinal innovation, just to put up a few thoughts here, I think there's quite a lot that's interesting that's going on, from the work that Digicite is doing to enable readings of the back of the eye with a smart device or smartphone platform, to intraoperative OCT work that Zeiss is doing, which I saw announced a partnership this morning with AMO, to the work that UltraVit is doing with vitrectomy you know, devices and probes, to MIBS instrumentation. We launched a 27-plus gauge full instrumentation portfolio, and there's a lot of innovation, and this only happens because of the collaboration that we're seeing with surgeons, all the way through to devices like you see on the far right for membrane peeling of the epiretinal membrane, which is also used in vitret surgery. And then on the retina side, if we look here, I think, you know, a lot of work that's going on and a lot of innovation that's happened for patients, but there's still a lot of unmet need. You know, my wife's Aunt Kathy just got diagnosed with dry AMD a while back and is already starting to lose her vision from her geographic atrophy. And, you know, there's no cure today. Roche just recently entered phase 3, and of course, Novartis and Alcon have a program ongoing. But we're not where we are from a dry AMD perspective as compared to wet AMD, where you have anti-VEGF compounds like Lucentis and Eylea, which I think is also anti-PLGF, to newer, longer-acting, you know, next-generation anti-VEGF and combinations or FABs, the work that we're seeing right now with ESBA 1008, which is currently in clinical trials within Alcon and Pharma, our Novartis group, which are collaborating on that, to Fovista and the Ophthotech work that's being done, to drops, right? If I look at wet AMD from a drop perspective and the work that Panoptica and OR are doing, there's a lot of really cool innovation that's happening here, through to work in vitro retinal innovation for, you know, if I look at, you know, when you strip out the epiretinal membranes, which are not easily addressed with Jetrea, and you just look at the impact of the drug like Jetrea on vitreomacular traction or vitreomacular adhesion, we see great rates of recovery for people who have really difficult situations with their macula and retinal diseases that can be addressed with new products. And some of these are paradigm changing, right? Moving to, Jetrea has, I think, had a bit of a tough start because it's effectively a move towards a chemical knife. And that's a challenge when people are used to doing vitrectomies. If I look at refractive innovation, everything from the work that is being done in portable, low-cost refractor devices like Inetra is making to this is kind of a creepy picture. When I saw that, I was looking again on the plane this morning, this is a device from Innovega, and I'm just wondering if I could meet them because I'd love to see maybe a different picture, but that kind of freaked me out. The Oculus device, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook are involved with this company, but, especially for kids who have, a lazy eye or cross-eyed, conditions like amblyopia, Oculus, virtual reality device is really an interesting technology that's being done. And then, of course, we just heard a little bit about the work on the accommodating lens front that I'm personally so excited about in our collaboration with Google. Maybe just a few words on that. I think, I did go out with a fair amount of skepticism, to Palo Alto. I'd heard about, I'd read about the glucose sensing smart lens even before starting at Alcon. But I was more skeptical about the work that was being done by Google X and the team on the accommodative side. But having, gotten onto the highway in a taxi on a recent trip before then to San Francisco and watched the guy in the car next door reading a book as he was driving to and from work, made me realize, when I see the work that Google X has done across, driverless cars and Google Glass, there's a lot of really interesting innovation that's happening. And I think it's a company not to be underestimated. We spend roughly the same amount as R&D in R&D as Google does, but most of Google's close to $10 billion in R&D is on the R side, right? A tremendous amount of work that they're doing to solve difficult problems. And when I went in and spent time with the team, they really blew me away with some of the work they're doing and the speed of their prototyping. And for us, it was a great opportunity to partner with an organization that needed to work with someone on the technical development and clinical development and manufacturing side, particularly in contact lenses, but also in the future, potentially IOLs, where we're working as well. So we're very excited about this. They've got some great people working in really incredibly miniaturized batteries. I wasn't here for the panel, but if Frank and Brian Otis and others talked about it, we're talking about miniature batteries that are the size of a speck of glitter or a tiny flake of dandruff. We're talking about miniature microchips and wireless electronics that allow routing to smartphones, and ultimately could have a shot at a holy grail in presbyopia of a truly autofocus lens. So more to come and more work that we're working on there, but I think it's important again to take big shots on goal, not just incremental ones. From a delivery model standpoint, we also work hand in hand with the community, and this is an example of how we do it in emerging markets. We have a phaco development program that has been launched in China, India, Vietnam, and Russia. We're now looking at our work in sub-Saharan Africa, made, of course, a little bit more difficult from a current environment perspective because of the Ebola crisis that's happening in West Africa today. But over 1,400 doctors have been trained. About 500,000 phaco procedures have been done as a result of the investments and the education and the collaboration of our phaco development organization, to help people and train them on modern cataract procedures. And nothing against small incision cataract surgery or extracap cataract surgery, which in some forms can be highly effective. But I think everybody has a right to great eye health, and we believe in phaco emulsification as a great platform for that. I think as we look forward, there's a lot of interesting things that are happening. I've been at conferences recently with some of the 3D printing companies that are talking about the work that can be done to print human organs all the way down to personalizing intraocular lenses and looking at doing that through 3D printing on a personalized basis in a sterile environment to the work in computer simulations that's happening right now, which is incredibly important from a speed to market perspective in terms of leveraging mathematical and computer science modeling techniques to really better understand patient pools within a particular mechanism of action in order really to accelerate development timelines. So, you know, just a few remarks, you know, on the innovation front. And I think, you know, in closing, there's a lot that's possible within eye care. There's a lot that's possible within the big companies in eye care, the small companies, within operating rooms and within the venture community, many of which, much of which is represented in the room. And certainly Bill and Emmett and others who brought us together, we give you our thanks for bringing us together to remind us of why we're here. To focus on our patient needs, on customer needs, and to drive innovation for the future of ophthalmology. Thanks very much.
We hope you enjoyed that visit to the Ophthalmology Innovation Summit with that great speech by Jeff George. Next week on OIS Podcast, we'll resume our interview schedule. I'll be sitting down with Amar Sani, CEO of the novel drug discovery company, Ocular Therapeutics. Please listen in then, and don't forget to check out OIS.net for our ongoing coverage of the Ophthalmology Innovation Summit and the ophthalmology industry.
OIS is now accepting applications for presenting companies. Share your technology and clinical data with over 800 industry executives, investors, and key opinion leading ophthalmologists. To be considered for the Ophthalmology Innovation Showcase, apply online at www.ois.net/application.